Welcome to The Tension, a show about living life in between. Today we're going to get down and dirty with our compulsive desire for competition and our instinctive need for collaboration. And we'll try to determine if there's really a good time and place for competition as it relates to our lives in the kingdom of God, or if life is just supposed to be one giant collaboration. I'm your host, Adam Mosley, and you're listening to The Tension. Well, it's fall, and it's my favorite time of year. It's great because the unrelenting heat of summer is finally fading away. It's great because our families are back into a routine and some sense of normalcy. And it's great because every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, some Fridays, and Saturday, you can turn on your TV and watch football. You see, I love football. I started playing when I was in about third grade, and I've been hooked ever since. And perhaps it's my love of the game combined with this time of year that caused it to come to mind as I was thinking about this idea of living in the tension between competition and collaboration. You see, football is a great example of a game that requires the players to live in that place. Sure, players need to be competitive. After all, this is a competition. There are teams and there are scores and wins and losses. And yet at the end of the day, it's a team sport. There's very little room for someone who only cares about himself. You may have seen it from time to time, a wide receiver whining because not enough balls are thrown his way, or a quarterback griping about the way the game is being coached. But those players almost always end up flaming out quickly, and very often they fail to, as they say, go out on top. Extreme individualism and a looking out for number one attitude simply won't cut it in football. Instead, it takes everybody working together to make things go smoothly. Especially in the modern game of college and pro football, plays are so choreographed and timed that one slight hesitation by one player can blow up a play before it's even had a chance to materialize. Sure, there's competition, but that competition has to happen within the framework of the team, not outside of it. It's a both-and scenario where, for the good of the team, each individual is asked to beat his opponent on the other side of the line of scrimmage. If each player can take that responsibility and combine it with a collaborative attitude towards the goals of the team, then, barring some glaring deficiency of talent, the team should be able to be successful. The question, however, is whether or not this kind of competition-collaboration combo works or is even necessary in real life. I mean, we see it in sports and in business, but what about the lasting things, the things that are truly significant in the eyes of God? Is there a place in God's kingdom for competition, or is His solely a collaborative effort? Well, that's a tough one to answer, but I have some thoughts, specifically about a certain type of competition that I think is a vital part of us living the life that God desires for us to live. So we'll tackle that in a moment. But first, it's time once again for Permission to Speak Freely, a segment devoted to whatever happens to be floating around in my head at the time. Today, I would like permission to speak freely about instant replay. And this time, I'm not talking about sports. You see, I'm talking about the kind of instant replay that's suddenly ubiquitous in our lives. You see, it seems that every day there's at least one story about this person or that person being caught on video in an embarrassing situation. Wardrobe malfunctions and poorly phrased speeches and awkward moments of candor have tripped up royalty, celebrities, politicians, and even regular people like you and me. And these life gaffes seem to be happening at an alarming rate. Why is that? Well, I think it's pretty simple. You see, cameras are suddenly everywhere. It's been estimated that there are somewhere between 2 and 3 billion, with a B, camera phones in use in the world today. In 2001, that number was somewhere around 3 million with an M. That is a 100,000% increase in the number of cameras that are available at a moment's notice to capture any and every moment. Add to that the fact that now, as opposed to 2001, most of those cameras capture video and allow for easy uploading to sites like YouTube and Facebook, and even allow you to title or tag your video so that others can find it. And suddenly every person with a phone is a potential videographer, reporter, or producer. Unless you've been in a cave this week, you've probably heard about the infamous Mitt Romney video making the rounds. In it, he expresses what some have labeled a dismissal of half our country, while others have called it an acknowledgement of his opponent's constituency. Whatever it was, pundits and politicians on both sides of the aisle agree that at the very least, Mitt chose his words poorly. But here's the thing. Rewind 10 years, and I don't think there'd even be a story here. I mean, okay, perhaps someone could have tape recorded the speech at the fundraiser, but let's be honest, that would have required a lot more forethought and planning than probably took place here. I mean, the reality is that whoever shot this video probably either just decided it would be cool to capture the moment for posterity, or they heard something they didn't like and decided they wanted to capture what they perceived to be damning evidence against this presidential candidate. Whatever the case, I think it's pretty unlikely that they put a whole lot of thought or planning into that recording. They just pulled out their phone and hit record. And now it's being replayed ad nauseum on the internet and every television news outlet available. But you see, that's the society that we live in. An instant replay society. One where every public altercation, every word spoken, and every move made can be videotaped at a moment's notice by anyone who happens to be standing around. If you're lucky enough to be caught in a Good Samaritan moment, rescuing a kitten out of a fire or a toddler out of a sinking car, then consider yourself fortunate. But if you're caught figuratively or literally with your pants down, you'll get to learn that if a picture is worth 1,000 words, a video is priceless. And that's my 2 cents given to you at absolutely no cost. And now, on to our main topic of the day, living between competition and collaboration. Collaboration is easy to cheer for, isn't it? It's teamwork and cooperation. It's everybody pitching in together. It's lots of cool words that go on an inspirational office poster. Then again, we like competition too. I mean, we talk about how it builds character and how it makes us all better. But what plagues me about the idea of competition is that it seems to run counter to many of the ideas that Jesus espoused. He talked about the last being first. He held up humility as a virtue. He said that the meek would inherit the earth. Battling your way to the top seems pretty useless in God's upside-down kingdom. And so I begin to ask myself this question. Is this one area where we shouldn't live in the tension? Is this the exception to the rule, a case where leaning to the extreme collaboration side of the spectrum is actually the best bet? Well, maybe I'm just trying to twist words here to make my case, or perhaps I've actually stumbled onto something. You can be the judge. But I think that I've come to realize that there actually is room for competition in our everyday lives. It's a certain kind of competition that has nothing to do with being better than the next person or proving that you're number one. Instead, healthy competition in our personal lives is all about bettering ourselves. As a kid, I used to love to play video games, and one of the games I had was a racing game that had several modes of play. And one of these modes was a time trial mode, where you ran several laps around the track in an effort to turn in your best lap time. And the cool thing about time trial mode was that once you had completed one lap and crossed the finish line, a little translucent ghost car would appear on the screen and would copy exactly what you had done the previous lap. In essence, you got to race against yourself to see if you could beat your previous time. It was still competition, but it was self-competition. And that, I believe, is the kind of competition God desires for us to engage in. You see, it really doesn't do me a whole lot of good to start comparing myself with other people. Do I parent better than that person? Do I sin more or less than that one? Am I wiser than this guy, more mature than that guy? It really doesn't matter, does it? In the end, God is not comparing us to anybody else. What he does desire, however, is that we work to get better at living life in the way he designed us to live. And part of getting better requires us to understand where we were, where we are, and where we need to be. Self-competition is all about being a better me than I was yesterday, about seeing that translucent ghost car and recognizing where things went awry on that last lap, and then determining to do better this time around. Self-competition is a brutal game. It involves immense self-reflection and brutal honesty. It also means that any weaknesses in my opponent are really weaknesses in me. His vulnerabilities are my vulnerabilities. Self-competition is, in the end, a really humbling endeavor. But it helps. It helps me become a better me. It helps me become a better collaborator, too. Being able to step outside of myself and see my pluses and minuses helps me to see what others see in me. Being able to view my weaknesses as a parent will help me see why my wife parents the way she does, as a teammate, a partner, and a complementary figure in our household. In short, yes, there's room for competition in God's kingdom. But just like in football, we have to maintain the correct perspective. We have to keep our competition within the confines of what's best for the team. And in this case, we have to keep our competition to ourselves. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. Remember that you can pick up a new episode of The Tension every other Friday. And if you'd like, you can subscribe to the podcast by going to iTunes and searching for The Tension. Our next episode will be on Friday, October 5th, when I'll be coming to you from the beautiful Glen Airy Retreat Center outside of Colorado Springs, Colorado. Until then, I'm your host, Adam Mosley, reminding you that the best is yet to come. Keep living in the tension.